Let's turn to Genesis. Back to Genesis. How many times we can go over the death of Christ? How many times we can go over that the most momentous thing that has ever happened in all the annals of time or eternity, and the Spirit of God can give us one more aspect if we have the eyes to see it. I just want to share a little thought with you, brethren, that I've enjoyed recently, and I believe I have the mind of the Spirit of God in this too. We've been hearing a little bit, you know, about the fact that Israel will be saved, the fact that you and I have salvation now through the precious blood of Jesus. Look down at the end of chapter 2. And by the way, the book of Genesis, one has said, is the seed plot of the Bible. All of the great foundational doctrines of the Scriptures are found in this wonderful book. Very precious. I want to read from the 21st verse. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs. We've been hearing about bones. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. I want you to fix this phrase right here in your mind. And closed up the flesh thereof. Now let's go to John 19. Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, that great chapter that the Spirit of God through the Apostle John gave to us in connection with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I may take the liberty to read the 20th chapter too, a few verses in there to connect up the thought. The 19th chapter, we'll pick up the thought from the 32nd verse. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. That would usher these men into eternity. That's what it would do. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Remember that the rib was taken out of Adam's side, right? Was taken from his side. Roman soldier now in hatred raises that spear and he pierces the side of the dead Christ. You see, brethren, dear ones, the death of Christ is unique in every way. You can see over and over again when you look at the death of Christ, you see facets and aspects about it which are totally unique. Totally unique. One among us has said, think of the nails passing through his hands and his feet and not a bone broken. Now this soldier raises this spear and pierces the side of the Lord Jesus, and something else miraculous happens because the blood issues forth. Wonderful. Now let's go into the 20th chapter, and I want to see why this is so significant. You know, the Bible gives us contrasts. And here we're going to see a contrast. Now, in the 20th chapter, verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Remember I told you earlier in Genesis to keep your eye fixed upon the fact that after God took that rib out of the side of Adam, He closed that flesh up again. Now that precious Savior standing in resurrection life, that side is opened. It's open. That side has never been closed. I never realized, you know, you read it, but the impact of it does not hit you sometimes. That's why it's important to read the Word of God over and over again. Isn't that beautiful? And Jesus is going to bear in His body forever those wounds in His hands, feet, and His precious side. Of course, what's Thomas a picture of here? He's no doubt a picture of the Jewish remnant that will believe in a coming day. They will believe. But let's go on in the chapter. We'll see something. Then Thomas answered and said unto Him, My Lord and my God, and he couldn't do any other. There was the evidence standing right in front of him. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. That's the way it will be for the Jewish people. They'll see and they'll believe. Oh, but you and I have been called to something far greater. Look at the next part. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. What a great thing. What a great thing. You don't want to know that practically every difficulty among us comes in as a result of two reasons. Our unbelief and our self-will. Much mischief, if not all, can be traced to those two fountainheads. Unbelief and our own self-will. Oh, may God make us believing believers. May He make us believing believers that we will believe. And may the self-will in us, may it have no place. He's everything. I want to finish with a couple of thoughts in Ephesians. We touched on that book this morning. Beautiful book. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. The thought is really the cornerstone because there's only one. In whom the whole building, all the building, it's not in what, it's in whom. All the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22 is what I had specifically in mind. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Back in Genesis, it tells us that with that rib that He took out of the side of Adam, He builded a woman. That's what really the original word means there. That verb, builded, is brought over into the New Testament, and this word, builded here for a habitation of God through the Spirit, is the exact same verb in the Greek. Isn't that interesting? See how it all fits together? You dear young people, you older ones, do you see how these things fit together? Wonderful, isn't it? No, it was our God who wrote the Bible. Who is like unto me, declaring the end from the beginning, and things that are not, and calling things that are not as though they were. Wonderful, isn't it? You know, wonderful to realize in the fifth chapter of Ephesians it says this, "This is a great mystery, but I speak as concerning Christ and the church." What a great thing it is. But it's a blessed, blessed fact, a glorious fact. Build it together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now there's nothing much drier than dry bones. Our brothers brought that before. Pretty dry, isn't it? a dry bone. Israel, right to the point where there's not even a smell from a decaying corpse. Everything is just rotted away until there's a point where there's just nothing but bones left, and dry ones at that. But what is that in connection with the God of resurrection? Do you know this afternoon that resurrection is the greatest power that's known? Our God, our precious Savior, the one who himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life," he is the one who holds that power. Brethren, this is the one we're gathered to. This is the one who's the head of the church. This is the one who has called us to glory and virtue. This is the one who, it says in Colossians, Christ is everything. Everything. And so we have to bring the question home to our own hearts. What is he to me? What is he to me? I speak to you, dear young people. Some of you have not taken your place at his table. What's holding you back? Do you know it's an unspeakable privilege to be able to sit down in his presence and remember him who not only went into death, but on that third day came out of that tomb triumphant? And as it tells us in Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and Hades of the departed state." It's all his. He has it all. In John chapter 10, it tells us very clearly, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Then he makes the question right home to her heart. "Martha, do you believe this?" She says, "Yea, Lord, I believe." She gets tested later. Comes to the tomb. The Lord turns to him. He says, "Take away the stone." And it's very interesting, the statement there. "And the sister of her, of him that was dead." Isn't that something? That's like us. "And the sister of her, of him who was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, he's been dead for 4 days. And then the Lord says, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst what? Believe, I should see the glory of God." Resurrection. Resurrection. I want to finish with one final statement. It's this. Do you and I believe? Do you and I believe this afternoon that we're on the verge of the greatest event since the coming of the Holy Spirit to baptize all believers into one body? By the way, it not only baptized the church into one body, but it's the Spirit of God is going to lead us out of this world home to the Father's house, up there to meet Christ in the air. Think of it. The power of the Spirit of God. I mentioned that to a brother the other day. Isn't it interesting that the dead and the living, rising, changing instantaneously in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. And I'll tell you something else that thrills my soul. To think that all of the self-will, all of what has been of man's arrangements, it's going to be swept away at the coming of Jesus. One heart, one mind, one voice. Blessed be his name. That's going to rise in a mighty crescendo to him, unto him that loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Brethren, we're getting closer. Apostle John reminds us in his first epistle, the second chapter, I quote the first part of that verse, "Little children, it is the last time. It is the last hour," is how it's read in the other translation. We're right there. We're right there. What a thrill it's going to be to see that ancient people brought back into blessing. What a thrill it's going to be to see him given his rightful place. Every believer in this room longs for that day when Jesus alone is going to have his rightful place. I trust it so. I just want to leave these few thoughts with us. May they encourage us. His side was opened and it will remain opened forever. Adam's was opened and then it was reclosed. And the lovely little pictures that the Spirit of God can give us in the Word of God. I commend these things to us. Commend these things to us. If we keep these things in mind, it'll make the remembrance of the Lord really sweet to us, won't it? That side is opened. And we're going to see the marks of that servitude forever. Blessed be his name. Oh, may that love grip our souls. May the realization of that love animate us to a more fervent and a more ardorous pursuit of those things that are pleasing to himself. Till he comes.